In the 1980s, author Thomas Gagin wrote that Chicago was the last great American city not yet ruined by yuppies. Today, our next guest says Chicago has become a city that, in fact, works for the rich, a place full of foodies with manicured parks and lots of hipsters around.
Meanwhile, the poor have been pushed out of gentrifying neighborhoods, and Chicago leads the nation in homicides. Thomas Frank from the Midwest himself sees this kind of disparity as the future for many gentrifying cities.
Thomas Frank is the founder and editor of The Baffler magazine. His most recent book is called Pity the Billionaire. He joins us now to discuss his column in December's issue of Harper's Magazine. It's called Chicago is the Future. Thomas, welcome to Central Time.
How are you today?
I'm good. And you?
Dandy.
All right. Well, you call Chicago of the 1980s an ugly city. What was it like? You lived there at the time.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I'm quoting someone saying that. I didn't think that at the time. I loved the place. But when I think back about what I liked about it, yeah, it was pretty ugly. It was, you know, it was this rotting industrial town, sort of at the end of the industrial era. And Chicago still has a lot of really grand public buildings, but it was grandiosity. Back then, it was grandiosity of a different kind. You know, everything was enormous, vast, empty, crumbling, rusting, you know, litter strewn everywhere. That's what I remember. But the funny thing is, I really liked that.
And you say that it was a Chicago in transition. In fact, it hadn't even really transitioned from deindustrialization. And there was something that you really reveled in, that kind of Chicago that hadn't caught up yet.
Yeah, it was a real city. So I'm from Kansas City. And Kansas City, I imagine, was a real city once too. But over the decades, Kansas City has developed this really bad case of urban sprawl or suburban sprawl, I guess you'd say. You know, it has no mass transit to speak of, and it's this gigantic place with no urban core. And Chicago had all the things that cities were supposed to have. You didn't have to drive if you didn't want to. It had famously a tavern on every street corner. It had industry, it had manufacturing still. There were still steel mills in Chicago back in the 80s. It had all that stuff. And, of course, it had the suburbs too. And a great university, lots of people doing experimental things in the arts, you know, often uncelebrated. And it was wonderful. I just was, I had a great time there.
You went back recently, and that's the core of your piece. What do you see as Chicago today? What has changed?
Well, so I moved away 10 years ago, and that was originally the impetus for writing this essay, is go back to Chicago after 10 years and see what it looks like, what's changed. And specifically, I lived in the South Side in a neighborhood called Hyde Park, which is where the University of Chicago is. And it's also where the President of the United States comes from. So, obviously a lot has changed there in the last – when I moved out of Chicago, he was our state senator, Barack Obama was. And, now I'm going back, and he's, of course, the president. And so the most obvious thing is the changes that are related to that. For example, the street that he lived on is, completely blocked off by the Secret Service, and they won't let you drive through, and they won't let you walk through. You just can't get through, period. And that has, in turn, allowed for all sorts of gentrification in the neighborhood around it, And what was funny is that when I went back to Chicago, this was back in September, I guess, and it was when there were this really horrifying series of shootouts going on in the city, and the Chicago had won had the most murders of any city in America, the most homicides, and there was that going on. But when I walked around in these neighborhoods in what I call the green zone, what my friends there refer to as the green zone, like in Baghdad, it was so perfectly safe that you wouldn't even know that these incredible, shootouts were going on, 20 blocks away or something. You wouldn't even know it. It was a different world.
And it sounds like you're describing this sort of upstairs, downstairs phenomenon that's happening in Chicago. But it also sounds like that gentrification rubbed you the wrong way a little bit in Chicago. It got a little overly precious. But when we talk about gentrification in a lot of cases, there's often less crime in that area, there's less urban blight, and is there something wrong with a gentrified Chicago as you see it?
Well, the things that you mentioned are very true. For example, you know, one of the best way to get crime out of a neighborhood is to make the rent really expensive. You know, this is well known, and that has certainly happened. And so the sort of, you know, massive kind of gentrification that's gone on in a place like Chicago has made the sort of green zone phenomenon possible, and it's really nice to be in the zone, right? It's a much prettier city today than it was when I left. The food is better. We'll get to that in a minute, I imagine. There's lots of great things about it. On the other hand, the problem with gentrification obviously is that it prices a lot of people out, and people have to leave their neighborhoods. And it's also, we're basically talking here about conspicuous display of wealth. We're talking about the kinds of barriers that money puts up, in all sorts of different aspects of life, not just in rent, can you live in a neighborhood or can you not? We're talking about vast parts of a city being basically becoming kind of a country club for a certain class of people, and that's unfortunate.
And that seems like at the core of your concern here, that there are two Chicagos and maybe by extension two Americas side by side, a wealthy country club environment here and everybody else in a fairly dangerous, high poverty, high crime zone. Are you worried this is going to expand to the rest of the country?
This is happening everywhere. It's particularly noticeable in Chicago because it's noticeable to me because I had, been away for so long, and also because it's the president's hometown. And lastly, because of the sort of really extreme nature of the folly, that has followed in the wake of the money, of the gentrification. But yes, this is happening all over the country. This is what inequality looks like. And in fact, I'm sure it's conceivably worse in other places that I'm not very familiar with. I'm sure you could write the same thing about New York City, only it'd be much, much more intense, or San Francisco or something like that. But those aren't my places.
Well, you look at that income inequality kind of through the lens of food in Chicago, where it seems like this is one place where food is the barometer. What is it about food in Chicago that sort of signals what's going on there?
Yes, that is exactly the case. This is what Chicago is famous for. So after I moved out of the city, I would sort of keep up to speed on what was going on there, reading the newspapers, and every time I read a story about what was happening in Chicago, it was always about the restaurants and the food scene. And this had never been an important part of life for me when I lived there. I mean, obviously, I ate food. Everybody does. But, going to restaurants was something that was sort of outside my price range. This is not what I did. I cooked at home. And yet, this is always what you hear about. So I wanted to look into it. This kind of intense gastronomy scene that's going on there, and sure enough, it is really extraordinary. Chicago produces has all these sort of world class chefs and these world class restaurants, and the food that they serve and the food that they're renowned for is always like taking some sort of esoteric ingredient and running it through this escalator of complications and preciousness, injecting it into a hollow sphere of ice, or turning it into a foam and then deep frying it or something like that, or doing something really outrageous to it. And this is sort of what the city is known for now. Did you see the stories a while ago when Charlie Trotter died? What was that? Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, he was sort of the beginner of the initiator of this style of cuisine in America.
And Thomas, actually, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Man, I was just getting started.
We'll have to have you on again. That's Thomas Frank, founder and editor of the Baffler magazine. We've got a link to the article we've been talking about on the Central Time Facebook page.